Good morning. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, beginning at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Sorry. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news."
Before I turn to that passage, another part of scripture to speak today, I just want to take the opportunity to publicly thank the pastoral team and staff and the many volunteers in our church who really stood up this week. And in dealing with their own grief and yet really served this church wonderfully. And a great team and a great lot of volunteers who put a lot of effort in, and on behalf of the rest of the church, we just want to say thank you for all you did this week. Let us pray. Father, we want to open our hearts and our minds and our spirit for you to speak into our lives. And you called us into community, you called us in community with yourself and each other, that we might serve you in different ways. And then you sent us out to be your people, to be your witness, to show other people the kingdom of God in our world. And Father, as we reflect on that, as we look at some of those of our partners that do that, we pray that you would speak into our hearts and minds in how we might do that as we respond to your call in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As mentioned previously, our theme for May Mission Month is around the sense of crossing the street. That is, how do we live alongside people bringing the hope of Jesus into their lives? Over this month, we're going to update you on how our global and our local partners do this. And we'll be considering not only how they cross the street, but how we might do that likewise in our own context. Our mission partners and our intercultural workers that have been listed on the screen when Brod put them up, these are ones who we support. And they've been called to live alongside their neighbours, to step out, to build bridges, and to meet people wherever they are. And for many of them, that means leaving their own land, leaving their own cultures, having to learn a new culture, a new language or two, so that they might bring the good news of Jesus and the love of God to people who may not otherwise know, that they might understand, that they might have the responsibility to hear and to believe and to become followers of Jesus. And so how do we, as their partners, enable them to fulfill the calling on our behalf? Now, while most of us may not necessarily be called to fulfill such a role in other places, how do we support those who do so on our behalf? And that's how we need to see our partners, the projects that we're engaged in, and those who go and serve interculturally. Because these partners and these missionaries are an extension of our church's ministry and mission. And we play an essential part in enabling such a mission to occur, whereby people are to hear and to respond to the good news of Jesus so that lives and communities can be transformed. And as followers of Jesus, that call by God to be sent also applies to us here in Australia. No matter where we live or work or play. Now, over these next 4 weeks in this series, we'll explore the stories of Jesus in the Gospels so that we might learn from his example and that we might see how passionate people around the world and in Australia are living this out. We'll bring further stories, we'll bring further updates of some of these partners that we have so generously supported. And let me thank you. Thank you for your generous financial support for these partners in the past. And encourage you to continue to be generous as you invest in the spread of God's kingdom. We're also exploring ways where we might resume some of our mission trips to some of these places, where we might continue to support them in other ways beyond just the financial generosity that we give. Today we're just going to briefly consider how Jesus sends out all his disciples, just as the Father had sent him. Next week, it'll be about how Jesus met people, where they were, and how he engaged with them in their local contexts, followed by the modelling of the heart of Jesus as he shows us how to express one's heart towards those that we interact and contact with. And then in the final week, we'll focus on being the good news together. So that's where we're going through this month. Now, a few weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. John 20 gives us the account of Mary Magdalene and then Peter and John finding the tomb empty. And how soon after, Jesus firstly appears to Mary and then that evening to his disciples. And it's then when Jesus encounters the disciples, he enters into the closed room and they suddenly recognize and understand who he is and that he really has risen. He then says to the disciples in verse 21, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, on the one hand, the Father had sent Jesus to sacrifice his life, to enable humankind to be redeemed, to be restored to a right relationship with God because of the sin in all our lives, something that no one else in the past or in the future is able to do. That was part of his unique purpose for coming. But another part of Jesus' mission, the one that Jesus is referring to here, was that he came to earth to preach the good news, to give people an understanding of the kingdom of God and the eternal hope that we can have through him. And Jesus particularly delighted in doing this among the impoverished and the weak and the disadvantaged and the hurting and the rejected in society. And no one was excluded. This is what he was sending not only these disciples, but all disciples to do. Later on in Acts 1 and verse 8, when Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, he states this witness that we are to be to him, of him and to the gospel, to commence in Jerusalem. In other words, locally, in all Judea, in other words, nationally, in Samaria, that is regionally and cross-culturally, and to the ends of the earth, which means globally. Our mission is local and national and regional and global. We are sent to cross the street, to build bridges, to meet people where they are, to share the good news of Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. It's God's mission. We're not responsible for mission, however, God graciously invites us to partner with him in his mission. And he's already at work in every place and in every person that we encounter. Nationally and regionally and globally, we often send people from our own local communities, people who have a sense of call of God, and we've got a number of those there that we support, some we've supported for many years, and we'll hear some reports from them in the next few weeks. God has placed a call upon their hearts to leave their homes, to go elsewhere, and to serve in other places. That can be hard too for the families left behind. One of our own daughters serves overseas in such a way. But they have a sense of God is calling them to other places to serve him. Other times, we invest in people from other lands who may not otherwise have the means to fulfill God's mission in their own lands. And so our support for the training of pastors in Rwanda is one such example of how we contribute to the fulfilling of God's mission in enabling people who already live and are part of that culture and have that language to reach the people in their land that otherwise they'd be not able to do if we did not provide the support to enable that to occur. I'm just going to mention three of them this morning who were part of those 21 people that we support, those pastors that we support. John Matusa, we'll come to him in a moment, and just hear, I think there's a short video which I think you've seen before, but just a reminder, he's originally from Uganda, but he has no memory of his parents. They died when he was quite young, and he does not remember them. But he's become a church planter. And this training that we are providing for him will enable him and his wife to go about further church planting in Rwanda. Just listen to his, or watch his few words.
Hi, my name is John Mutesa. I'm a church planter planting a church called Covenant Community Church in an area in a Kigali suburb called Gahanga. I am recording this video to pass my gratitude to the CBC family, to the Revival Palace Community Church, for their support to me towards my education in theology. What I'm learning at Africa College of Theology is very, very appreciated. We have learned lessons that have helped us to have a bigger picture of Scripture. On a personal level, studies like hermeneutics where we learn the art and science of interpreting Scripture, which has helped me very much with my Bible study and also conducting Bible studies in the small groups back at the church planting we are doing. We're also studying things like biblical leadership, where it's not just about preaching, but also taking time to study myself and study what the Bible requires of me as a leader. And time of being at ACT is very enlightening and helpful. CBC, let me say thank you very much, CBC, for standing with us. And the seed that you are sowing in our lives is going to surely grow and produce much fruit. God bless you.
Another one of those pastors is Kagangu Gurius, and he's an evangelist, and he's being further equipped to be a missions pastor, reaching out to his local community. And then there's Jackie, and she has a heart not only to grow and continue to develop her relationship with Jesus, but training that she can be better equipped to bring the good news of Jesus to her own people in a way that they can understand. And we're helping her to understand the scriptures, to apply that scriptures to her local context, her local community. So these are just some examples of the ones that we are supporting, ones that we are enabling to be trained to bring the good news to others in that land. Now, I must admit, I'm a little biased. Some of you met our daughter last week, who's from Rwanda. Now, when I say she's a daughter, she adopted us, but rather than we, because she came to us as an asylum seeker. Now, I'm not going to hear her tell her whole story today. When she's in a good space, she's not at the moment, but she'll share something of that, of the trauma of her life. But she is a woman who's been through the genocide as a young child and has wounds as a result. She's been through all sorts of trauma. But she knows the importance and the place of the need of the gospel in her country in a way that it can be generally understood. Because while there are some Christian churches and so forth that are there, they do not necessarily preach the gospel. And I know from her the conversations with Hillary, and hopefully she'll be back in further services and you'll meet her. You know, Hillary was fortunate enough to have the training to enable her to work for the United Nations. She worked in 4 African countries. She speaks 6 languages. But she knows that her people, whom she will probably never be able to return because it will cost her life, desperately need to hear the good words of Jesus. And we can play a part in that. You know, for us locally, there are people all around us that haven't heard the gospel in a way they can understand either. Yesterday in the service, we talked about Iva. Liz talked a bit about their time in Broken Hill. And that's when I first met them, because I was living with Liz's parents in that time when he was pastoring at Broken Hill. 10 years later, Judy and I are pastoring in Broken Hill. And I remember before I left, both of us, we were sent there by the denomination. We didn't have any choice, basically, but we were sent there. And I remember when I was pastoring at Lidcombe at the time, I was a student, and they people in my congregation said, why are they sending you to that God-forsaken place? Well, I want to tell you here and now, there is no such place as a God-forsaken place. There is no such people as God-forsaken people. There are people that God loves. There are places that God loves. It breaks his heart of what goes on in some of those places. But he calls us to be the light and the salt and to shine and to be in those places. And sometimes to do that, we need to cross the street. We also know as we know, Jesus was sent here by God as a babe in a poor, humble family in which to grow up in human form. And as he grew up into adulthood, he was still ready to fulfill the purpose for which he came. And the time had come when he was to be baptized and commence that ministry. And in the passage that we had read to us at his baptism, the Father declared to his Son, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And Jesus' identity is secure as one who is loved by the Father. He knows that God calls him and embraces him as he responds to that call. Then he's tested. As he goes out into the desert, Satan does everything he can to try and undermine that call of being sent to bring the good news. To prevent him from fulfilling the purpose for which he had been sent. But knowing who he is in God and the purpose for which he was sent, he was able to persevere. He was able to dismiss the testings of Satan. And that is a template passage for us. Because as we are secure in our identity as the children of God, as we develop intimate, deep relationship with God himself, with the love of the Father and the following of the Son, we too can step out. It is not easy for those pastors in Rwanda. But because they know that the Father loves them, because they know that they are in a relationship with him, that enables them to step out, because no matter what happens, they know they are loved by the Father. You know, working with miners in Broken Hill, in that so-called God-forsaken place that someone thought it was, is the place where I've seen more men who come to know Jesus than anywhere time in my ministry. It took us 3 years to kind of work it out. How do we bring the gospel to people, and particularly men underground, in a way that they would understand and have meaning to them? We had to think and get rid of all of our theological language. Our theology didn't change, the truth didn't change, but how could we say it and present it in a way that they would understand and have the opportunity to respond? And the joy of seeing, after quite many years of working at it, them coming to know Jesus. Let me tell you, they tested us out. Well, the football ministry that I'm involved in, I don't talk about that much, but despite the team I might be with. But I got involved with the Bulldogs 31 years ago, and still am today, because there was only one Christian footballer, rugby league player, in the whole competition. And I know he's been here, Brad Mackay. And I've played every code of football except rugby league. But I chose that because I had moved onto campus at Morling College to live there. And I didn't want to live in this cloistered environment that would strangle me if I didn't cross the street to reach out to those who otherwise may not ever have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And that's why I started that and started doing that. And because I started training with them, they tested me out. Well, I won't talk about that today. It doesn't happen unless you cross the street. And Satan wants to underline you doing that. We'll have more to say about that other times. But I knew in those circumstances that I was confident in my relationship with Jesus. And even though I come under criticism, and even though that I'd be going to places that and involved in areas that I knew very little about, but I had to learn the culture and learn and understand the workplace and understand their circumstances. I needed to be humble and non-judgmental, as Jesus was, because Jesus was more judgmental about the religious leaders than he was about those around him. And the third thing I want to say about being sad is that as we do that, we can't do it on our own. And God doesn't send us alone. Because not only are we in partnership with each other, but we have the Holy Spirit as our guide, our advocate, our comforter, as we step out. Because back in when he says in there in John, where he tells the disciples that he's sending them out, he then adds, receive the Holy Spirit. Because we need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives to develop the fruits of the Spirit, to cultivate Christ-likeness, to open our eyes to people of peace so that we can come alongside in our communities. And one of the reasons that I've discovered the need of the Spirit is that across the street has often meant that I've had to go and be in places where I am not necessarily comfortable. And I recall a pastor many, many years ago saying, and I took it very much at heart, and he said that when Christians and non-Christians interact to each other or meet together, why do we Christians always insist that they have to be the uncomfortable ones? In other words, they've got to come where we're comfortable. We don't go where we're not comfortable. And that's where you need the Spirit of God in those places. And in those conversations with some of those people. It's not easy sometimes in the dressing room language. It's not easy in some of the other places that you go with, but that's what it means to cross the street. For some of us, it may be to the neighbour that lives next door or over the road. How many of us know all our neighbours up and down the street? Know them well. Or it might be in our retirement village, people that live in the other apartments and rooms around us. You know, we're going to be celebrating Beverly Nunn's life tomorrow. But the day when she died, Friday a week ago, Graham went down to their happy hour so that he could share with them what had happened, but also the joy that she was with the Lord and shared something of his story and testimony there. Not that Graham was short holding back on normally doing that. But he's bringing his witness of Jesus into that space. I know that's not always easy. But God has sent all of us to cross the street into other places. It might be the person who works in the next desk to you, the next office to you, the person you play sport with. And sometimes there are relations that are built over a long period of time before the opportunity comes. Working at the Bulldogs first 6 months, I did nothing but pick up stuff after them and clean things and everything else. But it wasn't until a player tested me out on the field physically. And I got up and went again, and he did it again, and I got up and did it again, that I earned the right then for them to come to me and say, can you tell us about this? Can you ask? And then all these questions about faith. You know, my experience is, and I'm no evangelist, but I witnessed to the faith and the truth within. And as people get to know you and get to know your life, they're the ones that will initiate their questions. You know, most of the conversations that Jesus had with people, he wasn't the one who initiates the conversation. It's because people are intrigued by his life, intrigued the way he did things and the way he lived, and they ask questions about it. May we live such lives that open up those kinds of opportunities. And may we continue to support those who do this in other places, in other lands, on our behalf. We're all being sent by, like the Son. We are all loved by the Father. We are empowered by His Spirit. There may be some of us that will get called to go and be part of that overseas. Maybe long term, sometimes even short term. And don't you think you're too old for it? Because I know with some of my, I currently do the work, some work with the Baptist Union of Papua New Guinea. And sometimes they have some needs. It can be anything from a building thing or it's a medical thing or something or helping with some schooling. There are a whole range of things that people can do just very short term, particularly the schools when people retire and are able to go in, out and assist. So there are all kinds of opportunities with different mission agencies and so forth. I know some of you do that already in Rwanda. And maybe God is calling you into something like that. But we're all sent. We're all sent locally. May we continue to build the bridges. May we cross the street as we bring the good news of Jesus to others. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that there are those who came and reached out to us and brought the good news to us. For some of us, we were already, I guess, part of faith communities just by heritage. But others of us, Father, were had no idea about the church, about Jesus, and yet someone came out and reached to us. Help us, Father, to do likewise for others.